You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Okay. Hello. Good morning. So we are starting, as Pastor Lloyd said, a series on the Father Heart of God. And you know, last week in the video we watched of Floyd, he shared a story of his wife Sally and a time when God was calling them to some pretty bold move, and she took time to pray over it and, you know, came back to him. And she said something to him in that experience. She said, "I trust the character of God, and that's why I'm willing to do this." And that really struck a chord in me, because what I think we're going to do over these next few weeks is we're going to discover the character of the Father. And if we can learn to trust the character of the Father, then nothing stops us. Our relationship with him can grow, and we can go and do whatever he asks of us because we understand who he is. And so that's kind of the foundation of this series, is we want to try to put some flesh on this idea, because I think sometimes, I don't know if you're with me, but I think sometimes we think of the Father of, you know, God our Father, and it almost feels a little abstract. Like he's out there and I'm here and I don't understand. And if you're anything like me, I did not have an example of a father. My father was abusive to me. He was abusive to our family, emotionally, verbally, sexually abusive to me. And then ultimately he abandoned us. So I wanted to share that up front because I want you to know that is where I start in my journey. I don't start from good, fun. I've always understood. I start from no understanding of who a father is. I start from no concept of what a father should or shouldn't be. My father was not a protector. I never felt safe in my own house growing up. Of course, as you grow up, you don't understand that because it's just all you know. And then as I grew up and left home and looked back, I went, wow, I never felt safe. I encountered from my father the most evil that I've encountered in my life. So you can see how my perspective of the Father God, I'm like, I don't want to talk about that because that doesn't make any sense to me. And so because of how I grew up, because of my understanding of the Father, the lie that I began to believe that I kind of started telling myself as I transitioned out of childhood into adulthood was, well, clearly I'm on my own. Clearly it's up to me to take care of me. And so I set out in my life to do just that. Don't rely on anyone else to come and offer you aid or protection or shelter, because it's not going to happen. It's up to you. And I never declared out loud, I would have never done that, said God isn't going to protect me when I need it. God's not going to show up. God is not going to shelter me. But that's exactly how I lived. That's exactly what I believed. I didn't see God as a protector or a shelter or a defender of any kind, because I had not seen that in my own life. And so that is where I come to you today when I say that today we're going to talk about God as our protector. I come from a journey of not at all understanding that aspect of the Father. The reality is, where you may not have the same experience as me, the fact is bad things are happening all the time to all of us. Life is hard. It hurts. People we love hurt us. People we love are taken from us. We get sick. The world literally is coming apart at the seams. And so it's very easy for all of us at some point to go, where's God? Where's the shelter? Where's the protection? Where is his faithfulness? I don't see it. All I see is doom and destruction. So how do we respond when we have that crisis and we ask that question? Well, the way I responded was I became fiercely independent on the outside. I became fiercely independent Because if God's not going to look out for me and this world's falling apart, then it's up to me to carve out my own way, to build my own shelter, to build my own fortress. And so that's the reaction in the natural when we feel unsafe, unguarded, unsheltered, is we become fiercely independent, thinking it's up to us, and we become obsessed with planning and problem solving and trying to forecast so we can not run into that stumbling block. But here's something that is kind of a dilemma for us in that situation, and it's this. We weren't created to be independent. We were never created to be independent. You say, well, what do you mean we weren't created to be independent? Well, if we're going to journey through this idea of God as our protector, as if God is our shelter, then we have to go all the way back to the beginning. We have to go all the way back to the garden. Now, we all know that story, right? I don't have to read those verses to us because we all know the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. And we all know that it was perfect. We can't wrap our brains around that, but the truth is it was a perfect place. There was no darkness, no sin. The glory of God literally clothed Adam and Eve. That is what they wore. They wore the glory of God. And he came to the garden and he walked beside them and they talked and they fellowshipped. This was their life. This is what they knew. And then, of course, we know what happens. They eat the forbidden fruit. Apple, pomegranate, whatever you want to call it. They eat the forbidden fruit, and it throws everything into chaos. It was as though, I picture it as this. There's this beautiful painting that's been painted, and you're standing there looking at it, and you're just going, wow, that's a beautiful painting. And when they took that first bite, it was as if they took a drop of black ink, and they dropped it on that painting, and then it just starts to spread. And that picture just starts to become a smeared image of what it is supposed to be. And you can't see the beauty in it anymore because all you can see is the smeared black ink all over the picture. This is what is happening when Adam and Eve make that choice. And it tells us in the scripture, they realized they were naked. And we think naked. That's not the same naked that they had, okay? They realized the glory of God had departed from them. And it scared them. And so what did they do? They went looking for shelter. They went and hid in the bushes because for the first time ever, they thought, oh, maybe God's not safe. We don't understand what's just happened, but we need to find shelter quick. We need to hide. They start to feel like for the first time ever that maybe the garden's not safe. Maybe this isn't a good thing. And I'm a visual person, so when I hear the word protection and shelter, I see an island deserted, and I see a storm raging on that island, and then I see this little shelter on that island, and the wind comes against it and the rain, but the shelter stays. That was the garden. It was this beautiful shelter. It was home. And now they have to leave because it's not safe for them to stay there. The place of protection would no longer be their home. And so now, from that point forward, what we have is a world that is in chaos. Not the garden that God intended. We don't live in the garden that God intended. And the storm is raging. Every person in this room represents a life that has had storms come against it. And so we all ask the question, where is my shelter in this storm? Where do I run? How is God going to protect me now? Well, I'm glad you asked. So I almost instantly knew when we decided that I would be the one to talk about God's protection, I'm like, oh, I have to read Psalms 91 because it's like a favorite of mine. But I was like, I can't just read a psalm. That's like a poem. I'm like, I can't just read a poem and be like, see, God protects. So I was like, I'm not going to read it. And then the Lord's like, no, come on, let's come back over and look at it. And I'm like, I come back to it and we're about to go on a journey and you're going to be I think you'll be as amazed as I was. So we're going to start by reading Psalm 91. It's going to be on the screen, but you can turn into it if you want. And I'm actually going to read the whole thing because it really is such a beautiful, a poem, really. It is describing the shelter of God. So we're going to start in verse 1. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue me from every trap, and he will protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. And I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Now, at first glance, you might read this poem or hear this psalm and think, well, that's not true. Maybe you start listing the ways it's not true. Well, I've definitely had evil come against me. I've definitely tripped and stumbled. And if I tried to trample a lion, it would eat me. So maybe at first glance, you read this and go, it's not true. That hasn't happened in my life. God hasn't been that for me. I have been attacked. I have been pressed down and shaken by evil. So what is the psalmist trying to say? Why would he put this in the scripture? Well, I found an answer to that question in one of the most unlikely places. And that is in the temptation of Jesus in the desert. And so we're going to go to Matthew 4 to try to uncover exactly what picture the psalmist is trying to paint for us of the Most High as our shelter. Now, I told you guys before, this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Never found this little thread before. So when I found it, you can ask my family. I was like jumping down the house. I'm like, look what I found. They're not as excited as I was. But it's pretty awesome. So, okay, we all know the story of Jesus in the desert, right? It's about as common to us as the story of the garden. Jesus goes and he fasts for 40 days in the desert before he begins his ministry. At the end of that 40 days, Satan comes to him to tempt him because he has to go through this season of temptation to understand our plight as humans, okay? So we want to paint the picture of where Jesus is at right now. He is weak. He is hungry, he is tired, he is thirsty, and he's utterly alone in the desert. So already I am seeing a picture of when someone needs protection, that's what they look like. Weak and tired and alone. So that's where we find our Savior, right here in the desert. The second time that Satan comes to Jesus to tempt him, he comes three times. The second time he comes, he shows him the temple, which has always been the place that God's presence has dwelt. That has always been the shelter for the people. And he says to him, look at this. If you jump off of this, God will save you. And do you know what he quotes? He quotes Psalm 91. He quotes Psalm 91 in Matthew 4, 6. He says, "For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Word for word, he quotes Psalms 91, 11. Now why would Satan choose that passage to quote? I mean, he knows Scripture. Of all the things he could have quoted to try to deceive our Savior in that moment, to tempt him away from his calling, why would he choose that? Well, see, like I said, Satan knows Scripture, but he doesn't understand the meaning of Scripture. So Satan's coming to Jesus. He shows him the temple. Remember, Jesus is weak and vulnerable. His body, he is fully human. So don't believe the lie, well, he's God. He allowed himself to be in your shoes. He is weak and vulnerable. And Satan shows him the shelter of the Most High and says, "You jump off and he will save you," because this is what he said. His promise is that you would not be hurt, that your foot would not slip, that angels would come to your rescue. And so I saw that. I'm like, what did Jesus say to him? Well, at first I was like, that's not that exciting. He says, "Don't test the Lord as you did at Massa." And I'm like, don't test the Lord. Okay, what does that mean? And then my eyes were drawn to "as you did at Massa." And I'm like, what does that mean? I'm a researcher, if we haven't figured that out. I'd love to go on the hunt. So I had to go do some research. Okay, so Satan has quoted Psalm 91 because he doesn't understand Scripture. And he thinks he's got to appeal to the humanity of Jesus. And so he's like, "You jump and God will save you because he loves you. He won't let you be hurt. He will save you from this physical destruction." And then Jesus' response is, "Don't test the Lord like you did at Massa." And so I was like, well, what is Massa? Where is that? So I went on the hunt for that. And that is a reference to Exodus 17, when Israel is wandering in the desert. Moses has delivered them. They are in the desert and they have no water. And they start to grumble. And they start to complain. And they start to question, did God bring us out here just to kill us? Did he bring us here to leave us defenseless and abandon us? They even get so angry that they consider overthrowing Moses, their deliverer. Now God, in his never-ending mercy, provides anyway, despite their lack of trust. But that is what Jesus references in response to this temptation from Satan. He says, no, you don't understand what I've come to do. You don't understand. They saw their physical need and that's all they saw. They didn't understand. Israel didn't understand the shelter that God offered them. All they saw was, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I'm tired. Where are you, God? But when Jesus responds, what he is saying is, I know where my shelter is. And my body might be weak. I may have no resources at this moment to meet my physical needs. But I know that my Father will meet my needs. I know that my Father is my protection. You see the picture that Jesus wants to paint in this moment when he is tempted, when he is weak and vulnerable, when it is so easy to question, where are you, God? You aren't protecting me. You aren't sheltering me. That's where Jesus is at. It's not an accident that he's wandering the desert just like Israel. It's all supposed to be that way. Because of what Jesus came to do. He came to undo the mistakes that we made in the garden. So as you can see, there's more to Psalm 91 than meets the eye. It's not just a poem to soothe us in our distress. In fact, when you see the words of Jesus, when he is in the desert, you realize that Psalm 91 is a prophecy and a promise. It's a prophecy and a promise from our Father that if we are willing to look beyond the moment, beyond the here and the now, if we're willing to look beyond that to the horizon, we can say, I know where my shelter is. You can do what you want to me, but you cannot snatch me from the hands of my Father. The promise is that even when evil comes against you, even when you are stumbling around in this life, in this broken world, there is a shelter. And it's not a shelter you can see with the naked eye. It's a shelter you have to see beyond. You have to look beyond. Because Jesus came to restore us to the garden. He came to restore what we cannot see in our day to day, what we don't always choose to see. We weren't created for the here and now. We were created for eternity. And that is the rescue that Psalm 91 talks about. Psalm 91 is a promise. You can go through the fire and still remain in the shelter of the Most High God. So then the questions become, what can man do to me? What can evil bring against me? Even unto death. Even unto death, I'm sheltered. I'm protected. I have a refuge. I've used the illustration today of that shelter on a beach because when I was in my process of healing, which started about 9 years ago, at some point in that process, Jesus came to me with that picture. He showed me like a deserted island. And I saw myself on that island, and I was over here trying to build a fire in the rain. I'm trying like really hard to get things going and take care of myself. And then I just like look, and there's a shelter. And it's Jesus. He is that shelter. But I'm over here, and he showed me the whole time that you've been plowing and busy and working to defend yourself. I've been right here. Never far away. And so in my healing, I discovered that. And in my healing, I discovered where he was in my pain. And isn't that the question that we're all asking? Where are you in my pain? You weren't there in my pain. You didn't shelter me. Jesus says, oh, I was there. I was there. If you can look beyond this moment, this pain that is in your hands, if you'll look beyond it, you'll see I'm there. I never left. Jesus has shown me, as I've journeyed through healing from a lot of tragedy, he has shown me that he has always been my shelter and that he always will be. He's filled me with this boldness and this confidence and this joy that it doesn't matter what I face on this planet, I know where I'm headed, and so I am secure. I am safe, and I have craved safety my whole life. Because I didn't have it. I know I'm safe. Because I know that my shelter is in the Most High God. I think when I think of having this understanding of God is a protector of those who love him, I think of the New Testament church. Hunted, crucified, fed to lions, yet they never caved. Why? Because they knew you can persecute me and it will only drive me deeper into the shelter of my God. You can take my life and I will stand face to face with my Savior. They knew that they were untouchable. What a powerful thought to believe I am sheltered, therefore you can't get me. And they lived it. and they changed the world. I want to know my Father in that way. And I will tell you the truth. I don't always still believe it. I find myself sometimes, what am I going to do now? This is bad. This is scary. I got to figure it out. Build my own fire. And the Lord gently speaks. He's like, Shannon, the one who runs to the shelter of the Most High, that's the one. That's the one that finds refuge. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. It's interesting, you know, last week, like I said, we watched that video of Floyd kind of sharing a bit of his heart, and he mentioned his wife, Sally. Well, if you don't know, Floyd has been in the hospital now for a little over 2 years. He had a stroke and some just really odd kind of health things happened, and he has not come out of that. He has been in that hospital, in that bed, not able to really communicate very well. And then Sally, his wife, obviously is his caretaker, but Sally was afflicted with cancer in the course of these 2 years, and she's had to battle that by herself. So if anyone on the planet has been struck by evil, has felt like they've stumbled, it would definitely be Sally. And she sends updates every week to her, to the people who are on the prayer team and her, their, you know, within their ministry. And what would you, I was just like, this is so the Lord. Her update this week was on how God is our protector. She sent an email full of scripture, and this woman who has, she has suffered, but she sent an email full of grace because she has come to know the shelter of the Most High. And at the end of the email, there was a picture, and I'm going to ask them to put that up on the screen. And this is Aslan, and that's one of my favorite stories is the Chronicles of Narnia. So this is Aslan, and there's a little girl, and it's got Psalm 91:1 on it. He will shelter you with his wings. He will shelter you with his feathers. And of course, my first thought was, well, if Sally can believe it, so can I. Because I haven't suffered in any way like she has. My question for you, when you see this picture, is do you see yourself in the shelter of the Most High? Because the scripture in Psalm 91 says, it is those who run to him that find shelter. You have to run to him. Are you running to this shelter, or are you doing like I've done many times, building your own shelter, being fiercely independent? What is your response when evil comes against you? We've all been left feeling exposed and alone and like there's no way we can make it. I want to read again, now that we've talked about what Psalm 91 really means, now that we know we've got to get our eyes off of this here and now and look beyond and remember that our future is the garden again, I want to read Psalm 91, and I want to ask you to listen to it as if God has sheltered you already because you found Jesus, and that is the promise. And here's what's beautiful is we were removed from the garden because the glory of God had departed. Do you know what Jesus does? He clothes us again with that same glory that we had in the garden. And if you could see in the spirit what is really happening, all your fear would fade because you would see that you are clothed, sheltered, protected. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. And I will reward them with a long life and with salvation. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'm going to offer a bit of a challenge. So this week we've journeyed through what it looks like for the Father to protect. And I want to challenge you that all of these messages over the next few weeks are going to be about getting our eyes off of the physical and the here and the now and seeing beyond, seeing into the eternal. And so I want to ask you today, what kind of shelter are you building for yourself? Where are you running? The beautiful thing about the character of God is when we discover it, then we can become shelter for others. We can bring them in. We can see the bombs going off. We can see the storm raging, and we can call out and say, do your worst, I found my shelter. And we can tell others, come, run this way, don't go that way, run this way. I know where the shelter is. Some of you need to remember today that your God is a good Father, and he protects those he loves. Jesus, we come and we say thank you for what you did. Thank you for the journey you went. Thank you for resisting temptation so that you could go to the cross and bring us back into the shelter of the Most High God. Your promise is not that we won't suffer. It's not that bad things won't happen. Your promise is that even when they do, we are safe. Even when evil comes against us, we are safe. Jesus, help us to believe it. Not to see the here and now, not to have our eyes on what's going to happen right now and the pain we might feel and suffer, but to look into eternity and to realize that you have rescued us forever. What can evil do to us? We have found our shelter in the Most High God, and we will rest under the shadow of your wings. In Jesus' name. Go back into some worship, and if you need prayer, there's always people. Or if you want to just come down front and just pray by yourself, that's okay too. I want to encourage you to do that.
From Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.